And that's what the actors would use back then because they didn't have all their lines memorized, so they would hold this up in front of them and read their lines. And when they were supposed to be happy, they'd have the happy face. And then when they were supposed to be sad, they'd put the sad face on. And that's where they get the term two-faced, by the way. Hypocrite. How many times have you heard people say, well, I'd go to church, but there's just a bunch of hypocrites there, you know? And the best line is that, well, you just quit going to the grocery store because there's hypocrites there, too, and you quit. You know. I'd rather go to church with hypocrites than you know, die and go to hell with some, you know? So anyway, but it's possible to act one way and be different on the inside. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that's stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I remember a long time ago as a youth pastor, I had a friend who came and spoke to our teenagers one night, and he said, you know, he had a little boy, and he said, my little boy came home from school the other day, and he just blurted out this word that we don't say in our house. He just blurted out. You know, obviously, he'd heard it at school. He had no clue what it really meant. But, I mean, I had to immediately take him aside and say, son, we don't talk like that. That's a really bad word. Do you know what it even means? No, Dad, I don't. I just heard it at school. He said, well, let me tell you what it means, and this is why we don't use it. And he said, plus, the other part of that is the scripture says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The back of your tongue is connected to the top of your heart. And whatever's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. And his, you know, and then, you know, he did his father son thing with him, and then he thought, well, he probably won't remember that. Well, about a year later, his little sister came home from school, and she said a word. And immediately the little boy said, hey, don't you know your tongue's connected to your heart? Whatever's in your heart comes out your mouth? And so the dad went, yes, he got it. He understands. You know, the fact is, what is inside is going to come out. You know, you can't hide it forever. You can't store up things in your heart that are not of God. It's just, first of all, you shouldn't want to as a Christian. Second of all, because they're there, it doesn't please God, and it doesn't help you. It doesn't help me. Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard, or the King James says, guard your heart. NIV says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from your heart flows the springs, wellspring of life, King James says, flow the springs of life. In other words, all that life that God wants to give you comes from your heart. Now, again, I'm not talking about the muscle in there that's pumping the blood in you. We're talking about the place of residence of who you are. That's your heart. The place of residence of who you really are. And if you don't guard it, if you don't watch over it, if you don't keep it pure, if you don't keep it clean, then who's going to? Nobody's gonna do it for us, right? No, we've got to do that. Watch over our heart. Make sure that what we desire is what God wants us to desire by His Holy Spirit's prompting. You know, the old saying in the computer world was, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into the computer is going to come out. Same with us. If you put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. But if you fill your heart with the things of God, You store up God's word in your heart. You spend time with Him and with God's people. Those things will come out at the best time in the best way. Then bring into submission your thoughts. You see, our heart is that center of who we are. But then what we allow our mind to dwell on really, really matters, because If we say we have a good heart, but then our mind dwells on something else, then we're not connected. Colossians chapter 2, verse 23 says, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, and they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. In other words, you say that you're one thing, but what you really are is what you think. What you continually watch or think about or talk about or whatever it is, those things are going to have control over the things that you do. In fact, he says, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. This was one of the statements that I used many times in my youth ministry, because the fact is that if you don't start at the right place, you're not going to end up in the right place. Whatever you sow in your mind to think on is going to bring action from it. So if you meditate on the things of God, it's going to bring good things, good fruit. But if you meditate on the things of this world, then it's going to bring bad things. If you sow a thought, you will reap an act. If you sow an act, you think about it and then you do it, and then you do it again, it becomes a habit quickly. And if you sow a habit, then you're going to reap a character. And that's something for us to all think about, because it's easy for us to get caught up in something that's not what God wants for us. Even though it may not be all that bad, it's still not the thing that God wants for us. Then he finishes this section up by talking about the obvious and the not so obvious sins in our life. There are outward sins. They tend to be really easy to see. I mean, you blow up and scream at somebody, or you throw your dog across the yard, or whatever it is. When people see it, somebody cuts you off in your car and you honk at them and whatever. People see that. That's obvious, okay? Easy to see. We can always agree on those things. We call those, or the scripture calls those, sins of the flesh, things that we have on the inside that come out through the things that we do, the sins of the flesh. But then there's also inward sins. They're not so easy to see, but sin against the Spirit who lives inside of us. By the way, when we choose, and that's what we do, we talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we choose to disobey God, what we're doing is saying to God who lives inside of us by His Holy Spirit, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to do it. Or I know what I'm not supposed to do, and I am going to do it. Now, don't think that everything that God has for us is a do or don't situation, but the fact is that if we're not in harmony with the Holy Spirit, even good things can be something that God doesn't necessarily want us to do, because He has a better thing for us. I've known people that got so busy doing things that they didn't have a relationship with God. They were caught up in the doing rather than the being, as Blackaby says. Man, we can't get caught up there. So then he talks about these things that come out because of what's on the inside of us. Lustful eyes, looking at things that we shouldn't look at, and just continually doing that. Jealousy, you see somebody else or something that somebody else has, and you want that, you desire that. Pride, thinking that you've got it made, or that you've really come up in the world, or whatever else. Pride goes before the fall, we know that. Fits of rage, oh boy, that can happen to any of us, Selfish ambition, trying to accomplish something so that you'll feel good about yourself. This is a tough one right here, number 7, bitterness. I'll tell you what, folks, one of the things that God has just really been hammering in a good way into my consciousness as I'm going through these devotionals on love is the fact that we have to love exactly the way God loves us. And God holds nothing against us. Nothing. He completely forgives us. And when He forgives us, that means that we're complete. The slate is clean. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed our sins from us. You know, so who have we hurt most by sinning? God. We put His Son to death because of our sins. Should He be angry at us? Well, He has every right to be angry at us, but He's not. He loves us because He knew the price He'd have to pay before He even created us. Think about that. And that's why the Scripture says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Think about that. How could it be joyful? Well, the cross wasn't joyful, but what the cross brought was joyful because it means I've got you back. I've got you back. Bitterness just simply completely ruins any relationship that you could possibly have with somebody if you will allow that bitterness to stay in your life. Big one. And the second part of that is unforgiveness. Not being willing to forgive. How are we supposed to forgive, by the way? Just as Christ forgave us. Right? You can even get to a point of retaliation. If you allow that bitterness to grow so big in your life, the root of bitterness continues to grow, and you find an opportunity to try to get back at them, and you do, that's an inward sin that comes out. And all these, by the way, come out. Even though they start in your heart, they come out. Critical spirit. Have you ever known anybody with a critical spirit? They cut everything down. Nothing's ever right. Nothing can ever be, you know, they're just going to criticize everything. That's not of God. That's not what God desires for us. Gossip and slander. Talking about somebody or tearing somebody down in front of somebody else. These are all things that start in our heart. They can't. Here's the whole deal of this whole section. The deal is that if you're going to allow, and you are because you asked Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, if you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to take up residence in your life, if I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to be my guide, to be my, you know, then I've got to give up my rights. All of them. It can't be, I give you most of my rights, God, but I've got a few over here that I want to keep for, you know, when I need them or whatever. No. We give up everything to Him because we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our mortal bodies. Right? So, if we give up our rights to God, what we're saying to the Holy Spirit is, hey, it's not what I want to do today, it's what do you want me to do today? It's not what I want to meditate on, what do you want me to meditate on? It's not what somebody did to me, it's what am I going to do for you? It's seeing things from a total different perspective. And that's what the mind of Christ literally is. It's doing things the way that He would really do them instead of the ways that I choose to do them. And for everybody, that's difficult. When we allow any of these things to take up residence in our heart. If there's any of these things that we just won't deal with, or we won't bring it before God and confess it and get it right with Him or whatever it is, it will continue to be a stumbling block for all of us. So the question is, do we want to be obedient unto holiness? Or we just think that's something that's out there that I wish I could have, but I'm not going to do it. It's really our choice. God will never make you do any of this. But He will encourage you to. And He will encourage me to.